Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very, very special guest, Bishop R.C. Dr. Hugh Nelson from the Church of God East Flatbush. Welcome, sir. Such a pleasure and honor to have you
here. Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.
You're so welcome. So tell us, how did you get into ministry?
You know, actually, I'm the son of pastors. I was born in the island of Jamaica, and my parents migrated to England. And so became involved in the church, somewhat kind of ran away from it, got involved in psychology for a while, but later on decided I felt that was a call God placed upon my life.
Okay, so tell us about your faith-based organization, Church of God East, Church of God East Flatbush.
Yes, so actually it's no new name. So it is Ebenezer Urban Ministry Center, formerly known as Church of God of East Flatbush. The congregation began about 53 years ago, actually by 13 Jamaican immigrants who came to New York and wanted to they didn't feel that they fitted in with the existing congregations. And so being a part of the Church of God with headquarters in Cleveland, Tennessee, they decided to start a congregation. And out of that congregation have been birthed 11 other congregations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm the fourth pastor. So the first one was Pastor Guy Notice, followed by Pastor Peter Gale, followed by Pastor Lindsay Oscott. And 20 years ago, I became the pastor.
Okay, so why did you decide to change the name?
So that's quite, so when I came, my family and I actually served in Ottawa, Canada for 8.5 years. Mm-hmm. So when we came 20 years ago, I began to pray as to what vision did God have for our church? Because in reality, Brooklyn is the borough of churches. So every turn you turn, there's a church. So I felt it's not so much the need for another church, but what space are we going to be addressing? And so as I prayed, God laid upon my heart that what was needed was not just a congregation, but an urban ministry center. So the difference with an average congregation and an urban ministry center is that a typical congregation, to some extent, exists for itself. So the focus is on the membership. Mm-hmm. It's not by accident that the average congregation spends over 80% of its budget on its members. Mm-hmm. So an urban ministry center, on the other hand, exists to provide services to raise the quality of life of the community. So having a worship service is just one part of what we do. So we started praying about it and looking at what would it mean having an urban ministry center. That means especially being placed in a city like New York, which they say it's called a city that never sleeps. Mm-hmm. How do we provide ministry? Now, I'm sure as you're aware, there are some New Yorkers who get up early in the morning and they start their day. Mm-hmm. And there are some New Yorkers, their day begins at 10 o'clock in the night. And so we wanted to make sure we were able to provide different offerings, not just a typical worship experience, but also different services. And so we started looking at the demographics of the community, how the community was changing. We wanted to make sure that our church was addressing needs, not just the spiritual needs, but how do we add value to those who become participants. And so 12 years ago, we purchased two city blocks. Mm-hmm. At first, we're thinking of building a larger sanctuary, but somehow, especially around the time, it was when Mayor de Blasio was running for office, And as the different candidates talked about what were the needs, what were some of the things they wanted to do, I felt God laying upon my heart to change the plan. So instead of building for just a larger sanctuary, to build to address a need. And so housing became clearly identified as a significant need. So we changed the plans, we rezoned the properties, and so today we worship in a ministry space of 43,000 square footage with 530 apartments above. And they're all affordable. That's another thing. We didn't want to do a project just to gentrify the community. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that local Brooklynites, local New Yorkers have an opportunity to stay in their community. So right now, we are pleased to say that we've already completed actually 315 apartments already occupied. Mm-hmm. And the other block, which will be 220 apartments, will be ready spring 2024.
And that's very important, providing affordable housing, because this is what is really needed,
low-income housing, but
affordable
that's
housing.
That's it.
So you mentioned earlier about praying and your vision. So give us an overview of the vision of your
So I'm very strong in terms of the destination. Where are we headed? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes churches run the danger. I mean, of course, we're doing the Lord's work, and we are trusting the Lord that after this life, we will spend the other life in eternity with Him. But the question is, what do we do while we're here? What goes on between now and when Christ comes back for His church? And so we believe that God is calling us, as in the words of Isaiah, to rebuild the broken places. So I say clear to our members, if we don't add value to your life, if your quality of life is not better being a part of this community, then you need to find one. Because our hope is that being a part of this community, your quality of life, your mindset will be much more hopeful and definitely on a different level.
Because it's a holistic concept.
And many times churches also run the danger of becoming so myopic. We become so self-focused that we have no idea what's going on the outside the four walls. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that if there was ever a day that the doors of our church was closed, that the entire community would weep, because they would have recognized what we brought to the table.
Okay. So you spoke about ministries. What are the different ministries that you have in your organization to improve the quality of life?
Okay. So you asked the vision. So we have a simple vision. Mm-hmm. The vision is making disciples to impact the world.
Okay.
Clear vision. So that means we don't measure our strengths based on how many bodies are in the building. And what we want is people who understand the power of impacting another life. So Jesus really called 12 disciples and turned the world upside down. It's not in the multitude of the gathering, but the focus of the group. So we encourage anyone who becomes a part of the ministry, we want them to know very clear up front, this is what we're about, mm-hmm. making disciples to impact the world. That means a disciple is one who is learning while teaching. So you may not have a large stage, but you have a stage. So we want you to use that stage to now impact the life of someone else. And the whole idea of making disciples to impact the world, it means that the world has now become a global village. So what COVID is a great example. So when COVID came about, we heard about this virus on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. But in a short order, it's right here. So the idea is we have to become much more globally oriented. What happens in New York City impacts the rest of the world. So that's our clear vision.
Okay. So I was asking about the different ministries and services and programs that you offer.
So we offer ministry to families. Mm-hmm. We have specialized ministries for men and women. Men are nurtured spiritually, completely different than women. It's amazing. So sometimes we wonder, why are men not more involved in church? Because we are programmed to cater more to women. Men are much more rugged in their functioning, and so discipling men is completely different than discipling women. We also have a strong program for youth and children. So the family, we believe that the stability of the home impacts not just the church, but the community. So we have a very strong focus on family. We also have a we're also involved in evangelism, because we believe that the message is to be shared locally. But we also have a strong missions program in that out of our location, right in Brooklyn, we've helped to build churches in Ethiopia, Kenya. We support missions work in the Caribbean. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks, because I've been traveling quite a bit, we were in Brazil. And then the next week in Hawaii, helping to pour into ministries. So we believe, as God has blessed us, we have a responsibility as well to reinvest in the kingdom in places where there's a great need.
Bishop, do you have any programs or events coming up that you'd like to share with our
audience? So basically, because we're just moving into a new space, we have kind of reduced our activities. Usually, we would do the classic Christmas cantata and so forth. This one, this Christmas is going to be much more quiet. We're going to do the Christmas service, obviously, on that Sunday. But we are positioning ourselves so that we can launch 2024 in terms of a strong campaign as to just to become much more known in that area. Okay. So we're presently located at 660 Powell Street. That's right between New Lots and Hegeman. And so those two city blocks is actually our new location.
Okay. So you talk about 2024. What yes. can we look forward to?
So we're definitely looking forward to a much greater launch. I think the greater work was planning in terms of the transition. But now we want to look at much deeper in terms of providing tutoring in the community. Education is a very strong part of the agenda. As a matter of fact, I should mention that we also have an organization called the Hope Center Development Corporation. That is an organization, and a faith-based organization, which was birthed out of our church, and that's really our benevolent benevolence program. And so, on an average year, we feed over 80,000 people. So we provide every Saturday, and I'm talking about two different addresses now, so I want to make sure you know. The old address is 409 East 95th Street. That's where we were for over 30 years. And that's where we continue to provide our benevolence program to the community. So we provide every Saturday, we provide hot meals, we provide groceries, we provide a GED class, we also provide crisis counseling, and the team also does registration for SNAP for those who need that kind of support. So we've also run English as a Second Language because, again, that program, Hope Center Development Corporation, which is led by my wife, Diana Nelson, and over 100 team of volunteers, just strong volunteers, they do that every Saturday. And even during COVID, they never stopped. They continue to serve the community right through COVID. So the church now moving to a different physical location. 2024 is now where we do a strong branding campaign as we let the community know where we are, what we're doing, and where the mission is to impact not just Brownsville, but the New York community and beyond.
Okay, so you mentioned education, and I know you touched on some of the programs that you offer. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How in your ministry, you know, in the community, the work that you do, how do you see that verse?
I think that's probably one of the most profound statements, and especially in terms of minorities, because psychologically, so many minorities have been beaten back for so long that after a while, we give up on that hopeful future. When we purchased the two city blocks for $8.1 million, a local congregation of immigrants, and it was rezoned, then the value went up $12.5 million. What I hope that other minority churches or organizations can be challenged to do is to recognize the answer for our community is not on the outside. So when we talk about Brownsville, when we talk about East New York, when we talk about some of these, communities which are what we call vulnerable communities, mm-hmm. we can't wait for outside resources to come in to build our community. We have to become the stakeholders. And so God has helped us as a local church to impact not only the spiritual space, but also the economic space. So when the two city blocks were rezoned, it raised the value of every property around us. And by the way, when we started the process of rezoning, almost every politician told me they wouldn't support it. Oh, wow. They wanted it to be commercial. Well, we prayed, and we felt the release from God. And so the challenge many times in our community is that areas like education, housing, creating employment, we somewhat leave it to others. We're challenging our young people begin to think like an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We need to be more entrepreneurial. Now, of course, we run the danger as well of not having given our black businesses the same value. But all of that is brainwashing. A good black business person is no less capable. Oftentimes, it's just that they lack the resource. But we need to take ownership in terms of how do we build our economic base. And even in a place like New York City, and we talk about the Bronx, we talk about some of these, you know, high crime areas. I am hoping that somehow we can begin to see that the future is hopeful when we come together in unity with a common focus, with no one caring who gets the credit. I think that's always times that oftentimes the challenge. We want to claim the credit. So my role is primarily as a spiritual leader, but I see myself as being much more than just a pastor. I believe God has helped us that with good strategic planning, we can empower, we encourage our members, become homeowners. We resource our members, because at the end of the day, if only the pastor is prospering, and the members are not, something is wrong. In other words, when the tide rises, all the ships should rise. But it changes the mentality. We've got to see church much more than just a spiritual space. We've got to see church, especially in our community, as a space that we can revitalize our community spiritually, economically, educationally, and in every way.
So our faith-based leaders really need to rise to the occasion.
I will not use this platform to complain, but having black politicians doesn't necessarily mean we're more empowered. Mm-hmm. And sometimes because we have the right optics doesn't mean the black community is being raised. And so we're challenging other congregations and other faith-based groups. Let's move beyond that myopic focus and the little thinking. As a matter of fact, and just being full transparency, we had been looking for larger space for our sanctuary space. Mm-hmm. Our congregation was growing. We were meeting three times on a Sunday. We needed a larger place. We looked at one warehouse, $13 million. Another warehouse, $9 million. And so I was driving to my office and on Linden, just across from Brownsville Recreational Center, and I saw this big billboard, 4 city blocks for sale. And I looked at that sign. I'm like, no, God, we can't do that. We can't even buy this warehouse. And the Lord spoke to my heart that if you'd only believe what you preach, and I'm like, because it's so easy to talk about faith. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, God. And so I literally tried to talk myself out of it. And what's amazing, that Sunday, I had been preaching a series on Ephesians. And that Sunday in particular, I was preaching on Ephesians chapter 3 and 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. And while I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit just checked me right in the pulpit. You don't believe what you're preaching. And I'm like, Lord, I do believe. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. If you're seeking God's will and walking in obedience to his way, anything that you can think or verbalize, God will honor it. So the next week, as I stopped at the same traffic light, I looked over, 4 city blocks for sale. And the Lord spoke to my heart, simple. He said, you move now or the rest of the time you're in New York City. Every time you drive along this way, you kick yourself wondering what could have happened if you had only believed. So I took the number of the broker and set up an appointment. And we met in his office and simply just talked about the vision of an urban ministry center. And he goes, can you afford it? I said, with God's help, I think we could. And so after sharing the vision, he says, I think the sellers might be interested. Are they? So he gets on his cell phone, calls the seller, and he says, they would like to speak to you. I had no plans to speak to the sellers. I was just having all this in my head. And so he says, follow me. And I walked out his office, walked a block over, and walked into another office. And they're like, Bishop, how can we help you? And I says, you know, I want to buy 2 of your largest blocks to build an urban ministry center. And they're like, can you afford what you're asking for? I said, I think we could. And we started talking, and they started putting out prices. So I got on my phone, called my lawyer, John Savage. I said, John, here's an opportunity. I need to know, what are the comps like? I called my CPA, and they started doing their homework. And within an hour, we settled on $8.1 million. And so I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to have to go talk to my bank to finance. And so we shook hands. I said, I'll be back. I'll see you. I'll purchase those 2 blocks. And as I was walking out, one of the older ones says, Bishop, come back in. So I came back in and sat down. He says, I love your vision. He said, we'll help you. I said, how can you help me? He said, we'll be your banker. We'll hold the property for 5 years. And at the end of 5 years, you got to move us from the table. And the property had 22 tenants on it. So the tenants would pay the rent. I would pay the mortgage. And then at the 5th year, I started telling the tenants, I'm going to evict them. I'm not going to renew their leases. And they're like, well, how are you going to afford it? I said, I think God is up to something. And amazing what God does, because I stopped all the leases. We evicted the tenants, went through the rezoning, and of course, the rest is history. Well, we paid on the mortgage to $5 million. When we went to the guys, $5 million. They're like, no. Sell us back the property. I'm like, sell you back the property? Then the light bulb went off in my head. When they offered to be the banker, they did not intend to release the property. What they were hoping was that we would have run out of money and be forced to renegotiate. But there's a God. You know, I always say to them when we'd meet, I says, I have a partner, you just can't see him. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I says, my partner is not visible, but I'm not walking in by myself. And what God did was God helped us. First attempt, we rezoned the property. when the property was rezoned, the value went up to $12.5 million. It's when I paid them off their $5 million, I discovered they had tried to rezone three times to build apartments and could never get it rezoned. One attempt, and God made it happen. So I feel I'm very convinced that God has a plan and a purpose for every life. And once you recognize that purpose, you can't lose.
Fifi is amazing, right?
You have a partner that they can't see in the population.
So, Bishop, how can one come and, you know, worship?
So right now, after COVID, of course, we had to compress a lot of our services. So now we meet on Sundays at 11, from 11 to about 1. And on Wednesday nights, we do a Bible study, which is on Zoom. And so eventually, next year, we're going to move back to a Sunday evening service. So we're kind of coming out of that COVID effect. But we're located at 660 Powell Street. The name of the church now, of course, Ebenezer Urban Ministry Center, formerly known as Church of God of East Flatbush. And our contact number is 718-385-1043.
Thank you. So we are in the holiday season.
Yes,
and
yes,
the new
yes.
year is approaching. What is your message of inspiration, hope, motivation?
You know, I was thinking about that. I wasn't, because here we are, Thanksgiving is this week. And of course, Christmas is in a couple of weeks. I was thinking about Thanksgiving. And one of the passages which continues to really strike my curiosity is in Luke chapter 17, for the Bible tells us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, but somewhere in the region of Samaria and Galilee, he encountered 10 lepers. And so, of course, I'm sure you're quite aware, back in those days when you were a leper, you were isolated from your community, you were literally driven out. And so here's a colony of 10 lepers who are now doomed. As far as they're concerned, there's no hope. But somehow they had heard about the miraculous power of Jesus. And the Bible says that when they saw him from afar, they shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." And Jesus did something quite interesting. He says, "Now go to the priests and show yourself." So back in those days, when one had been healed from leprosy, the priest had to sign off before they could re-enter society. So it was quite interesting. He didn't touch them as he had done others. He didn't do what he did with the blind man, where he spat on the ground and took the spittle and then put on the guy's eye. He just said, "Go to the priest." Simple instruction. Somehow these guys, in a desperate condition, just took him at his word and started walking. Before they got to the priest, something happened. They discovered that a miracle was released by simple obedience. They never got to the physical presence of the priest. They didn't even get into the church house. They just kept walking towards the priest. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says they looked on their bodies and discovered that they were completely healed. The strange thing was, one of them turned around and headed back to Jesus. Now, I don't know how far he had walked when he discovered he had been healed, but he left the 10, headed back to Jesus, bow at his feet and say, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. Jesus' simple words were, "How many of you were in the group?" 10. Where are the 9? And there's a statement that says, one is too small a number to make a difference. I follow the writings of John Maxwell, a guru in leadership, and he has also echoed the sentiment. And the point is that no significant accomplishment has ever been made in history which was done by one person. It took a partnership. And so to some extent, 1 times 5 is 5. 1 times 9 is 9. it would feel as if one doesn't shift the dial. But I think Jesus wanted to teach us a very powerful principle. Because here's the amazing thing. 10 were healed. Only one returned and said, thank you. And the principle, I believe, that Jesus wants us to know is that indeed one can make a difference. So oftentimes we diminish or dismiss our potential because we talk ourselves out of the opportunity to shift the scales. One person can shift the atmosphere in an office. One person can have a dream which becomes materialized. Now you're going to need partnership mm-hmm. for that dream to become a reality. But don't give up on the dream just because you're the only person who can see it. Interestingly enough, and this is the part that that really strikes me, that event, that narrative, would never have been recorded in Scripture had that one man, who just so happened, by the way, to be a Samaritan, if he had not become the exception, we would have never heard of that entire experience. And so I want to challenge our listeners, because oftentimes we sense the pain, we see the problem, but we're waiting for somebody else to be the solution. Well, if you can see the problem, maybe you're the part of the solution. Or if you can sense the pain, just maybe God wants you to be the instrument. Not necessarily to solve the whole thing, but at least to initiate a change. So even in this season of Thanksgiving, when we oftentimes, especially in a place like America, where we are so blessed, and when you have abundance around you, it is easy to become dissatisfied. It is easy, actually, to become entitled. And it is easy to lose that sense of gratitude. And I want to challenge all of our hearers, especially in this season of Thanksgiving, count your blessings, recognize how blessed you are, and never become too busy to show thanks, not only to God. Sometimes people do things for us, just a gesture, and we feel that we're entitled to it. Well, even the janitor needs to be thanked because we all impact each other's space.
Thank you so much, Bishop Dr. R.C. Nelson, formerly of the Church of God East Flatbush, now Ebenezer Urban Ministry Center. It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
It is a pleasure, and thank you for the invitation.
You're so welcome.
People power and politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's people power and politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.